Waiving fees and entrance exams, and tipping off the basketball season. That's what we have on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello everyone, I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, to be mindful of the financial pressures students are experiencing during the pandemic, the university has decided to waive online and alternate delivery fees for many spring 2021 online courses. If a course is online instead of in-person due to the pandemic, the university will not charge students an online fee for that course. And the College of Graduate Studies and Graduate Programs across campus have decided to waive the graduate entrance exam requirement for summer and fall 2021. And to tell us more about that decision is Alice Camuti, the Associate Dean of the College of Graduate Studies. And Alice joins us now. And Alice, just talk a little bit about the College of Graduate Studies and the graduate programs across campus deciding to waive the graduate entrance exam requirement for summer and fall 2021. Now, you already did it for the spring, but now you're adding for next summer and next fall, too. Kind of what went into your decision to do that?
Well, that's a great question, Buddy. You know, we haven't seen a change in the pandemic situation, and we've been monitoring whether, the centers are open across the globe for students to take tests. We've been looking at how they're administering the at-home test. We're looking at the cost. And we've just decided that since we haven't seen any real improvement, we would go ahead and waive those exams just because of the strain and the stress on the students. Even though ETS has an at-home test they can take, It's still $205. And the other thing is that it's very stressful to have a proctor, get your test location ready. They're going to be looking at everything. You've got to show your passport, your ID. Yeah. You've got to show nobody's in the room. So it's very stressful. And so how would that affect the test? And so we have a lot of different measures that we can use to gauge a student's ability to be successful in the program, and the entrance exam is just one of those. So what we've decided to do is use the other factors that we look at, such as undergraduate GPA.
Mm-hmm. And I know that exams are being waived for the GRE, the GMAT, the MAT. Do we know of any other schools in the state of Tennessee that's doing that right now?
Well, we've conducted our research for summer and fall, And that information is not posted on our local competitors in the state of Tennessee. But where we have seen the decision made is at some of the higher level universities, such as Harvard, University of Florida, University of Alabama. And so we feel like we need to be the first out the door in Tennessee to make this decision, because we feel it's the right thing for future applicants.
And I know this is such a crazy time, difficult time, challenging time, whatever adjective you want to throw in there about, you know, what this semester has looked like. How has it been for graduate studies?
Well, we knew that we were increasing in the applicants for fall, because what happens is when people are laid off, when people are at home looking at their career and the projection they're going, what they will do is enroll in graduate school. So we knew we were going to have an influx, and we were watching it carefully. We were at 10% of the applications going up. You know, everything was going smoothly. And then it's like something happened right about July 4th. All of a sudden we turned around, and within just a couple weeks, our increase in applications went up 60%.
Wow.
And we, we're checking, we're talking to other schools. We feel like we're on target. We had no idea that it would change that drastically.
Right.
So it was an all-out effort through our department and the departments on campus to gather all of the application material, to communicate with the applicants, to try to get everything through. We added another full-time admissions associate to the process. We broke down pieces of the process, and we had graduate students hired to help us. So it was a crazy summer, because all of a sudden we woke up one day and we're like, wait, because at the same time we were implementing degree works for graduate students. And so we had a couple of big balls up in the air in July and August.
Right. Well, I'm sure that this is going to be well received. Anytime you can waive fees and exams for the GRE, the GMAT, MAT for not just the spring, but for the summer and fall of 2021, I'm sure that's going to be well received. And it really, it'll give some folks, like you said, a break financially, but also an opportunity to maybe chase that, you know, graduate degree that maybe they've been putting off, and now is the time to do that.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Just that we are actively accepting applicants for summer and fall, and so we encourage any of the listeners out there to go ahead and apply and just take the step, because there's a lot of opportunity with that graduate degree, and it will always make a positive impact on an individual's overall lifetime salary. Very good impact.
Yes, it will. All right, Alice Committee, the Associate Dean for the College of Graduate Studies, with some exciting news here. You hear it first on Tennessee Tech Today. Alice, we hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving next week, and thank you for all the work that you and the graduate studies folks do over there in your area.
Well, you are welcome, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Alice. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking basketball with John Pelfrey. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Tennessee Tech men's basketball season is getting ready to tip off under second-year head coach John Pelfrey. The Golden Eagles are looking to ascend up the Ohio Valley ranks this season and be one of the teams perched atop the standings at season's end. And to tell us more about this year's squad is head coach John Pelfrey. And Coach John Pelfrey joins us now. And Coach, you're entering your second season here at Tennessee Tech. Are you feeling a little more comfortable? Does things seem a little more familiar to you?
Well, you know, it does. I think COVID has tried to disrupt everybody, you know, a little bit or a lot, but certainly do. And we're excited about being here in Cookeville. And, you know, both my kids go to school here. So it's a family affair. And obviously it's both personal and professional for us. And we really enjoy this community. It's a, I think a community has got a servant's heart. And so it's been really good.
You know, what are some of the things that maybe you learned your first year at Tech that you think will help you coming into your second season?
Well, I think everything was based on the players. You know, we wanted those guys to give us an opportunity to come here and earn their trust and respect. And the players that, you know, were here were just incredibly gracious, compassionate, kind, hardworking, and resilient. Mm-hmm. You know, last year was not about results a lot of times for us. It was about, you know, how well we could do and play and perform together as a group. And I thought we really grew with that. I thought that the guys really tried to embrace the things that we talked about, the things that we valued, the things that we thought were important in terms of establishing a program, establishing a culture, a way in which we wanted to go about doing things every single day. And we felt like we got a lot better. The progress that that team made, especially in between their ears mentally, mm-hmm. was something that I hope all our teams moving forward are capable of doing. Certainly, you know, we've got to continue to improve our talent level. We've got to develop skills. We got to, you know, learn and grow and get better, do all those things from a physical standpoint. But mentally, I thought our team was, the growth was incredible. We were in a completely different place at the end of the year than we were at the first.
And you know, at the end of the season, the pandemic hit, and so you really didn't have any games canceled or postponed. And so what has the off season been like since, you know, you're getting ready to start your season up, but really you haven't had to worry about shifting games and those kind of things. So what have been some of the concerns that you've had to deal with during the off season as far as COVID goes?
Well, you know, our first challenge when our season ended was, you know, the tornado that came through Putnam County.
Yeah.
And that was deadly, devastating, rocked this community. Our players felt that as well. So that's kind of where it all started, you know, and then, you know, the pandemic hit and shifted everybody online and remote for the first time. I thought our players did a really good job, and our school, our leadership, Mark Wilson, President Odom, our faculty and staff, of finding a way for these student athletes, specifically our young men, to find a way to salvage a whole semester's worth of work. Mm-hmm. And academically, you know. So that was a huge challenge, and it was awesome to be a part of this, to see the success that we had, you know, academically. And then, you know, some of our other players who were kind of from Tennessee had to experience another tornado in around the Chattanooga area. So there was just so much going on, and basketball was taken away from us, and we couldn't, there was no summer access. And then we had all the social injustice stuff that came up around George Floyd and others, which, you know, I think to some degree, a little bit or a lot, impacted everybody in this country. Mm-hmm. I know the impact it had on me personally. I know how our players and coaches felt. I know how other people on this campus and in this community felt. I think we were all different today than we were the days before that. So, yeah, our guys have had to deal with a lot. And then the most challenging thing has been the reentry to the fall to start school back up with testing, with protocols, with masks, with social distancing, and understanding, you know, washing hands and sanitizing, and, you know, make sure you're changing your clothes, trying to have an awareness, but also find the discipline to understand that I signed up to come back here to play basketball and to go to school. I said I wanted to do this. These young men and women had an opportunity to opt out, not even do this, to stay home to try if they felt that was the best thing to do in their interest. But if we're going to come back, then there's, you know, if we're going to get it, so to speak, then it's got to be going to school. It's got to be on the practice court. It's got to be in the weight room. You know, a huge challenge, you know, is on-campus cafeteria type situations, you know, going to school. But we're going to have to sacrifice and leave behind all these other things, these other large gatherings, these other relationships, social gatherings that aren't, that don't specifically relate to me getting better as a student, me getting better as a player. We're going to have to find a way to kind of stay away from that and protect ourselves and go for health and safety first. That is a huge shift in mindset for all of us, but especially somebody who's coming to college for the first time or for 1 or 2 years. It's just a real challenge to stay with that every single day. And I can say that from my own perspective, because even for me, it's like you want to make plans to go do something else and maybe even make plans. And you're like, no, I really can't do that.
Right.
I can't do that. I have to model the right behavior. You know, it can't be one of those things to do as I say and not as I do. And it's just been a real challenge for all of us. And at times we've all done better, you know, for periods of time than we have at others. That's been the biggest challenge, the level of communication with regards to how to go about doing this thing. Because quite honestly, this is not going to go away.
Right.
It's going to be here for a minute. I know we're getting better dealing with it. I know that we're hopeful for medications and vaccinations. I'm sure those things are on their way, but none of us really know when that might be. So in the meantime, we've got to figure out how to go to school, how to go to work, how to, you know, continue to live in the safest way possible for ourselves and for those around us. And that's a little bit of a challenge, you know. I think in the beginning you heard a lot of people say you need to act like everybody's got it. And that's really hard to do the first time. It's almost like you need to touch the stove one time. It's like, dang, yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is hot.
Yeah.
It is easy to get. It is easy to give to somebody else. I don't feel well, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. But that's been the biggest challenge, to be able to find a way to, because we do need to continue to find a way to go to school. These young people want to come and compete in their sports that they're passionate about. And then obviously too, there's a huge importance for the athletic department, for the financial things to be able to get done, to put yourself in a situation to be postseason eligible,
yeah.
because of the revenue sharing. So it's a very complicated thing, but it's one I think we can do. And I've really enjoyed going through it with these guys, because I think that they have paid attention. I like our group. I think we have good DNA. I think obviously we don't know what that's going to mean in terms of, you know, winning games. Mm-hmm. But everything in our program, when you take over one, it's based on getting to year three. Where can we be in year three? So there's still going to be a lot of pain and suffering in terms of the growth of our basketball team. But in terms of growing as leaders in the classroom, developing a level of understanding about how to best go about taking care of each other on a daily basis, this has put us in a situation to even get better at that.
Yeah, and you'll be tested here in a couple of weeks when the season starts. But a little normalcy had Ohio Valley Conference Media Days, although it wasn't the usual gathering of coaches and players. It was done virtually, but still to be able to start talking basketball with other coaches and other players and know that the season is right around the corner, you know, that has to at least ease some of the burden that the COVID has put on you and the players, to know that in 2 weeks you get to tee it up.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for a lot of people out there, like I said before, who are trying to figure out how we move forward in a safe way for our student athletes. People on this campus have worked extremely hard. Mark Wilson, Dr. Oldham, health services. I mean, Putnam County has been amazing. There's just been a lot of things, and it's not just for our athletic department, but for this community. But the Ohio Valley Conference has worked really hard. I know the NCAA is doing all that they can mm-hmm. to give us a chance to play.
Yeah.
So we're all gonna go at this with a great attitude and understand that there is most certainly going to be delays. There's going to be disruptions. But the most important thing, like I said before, is to stay healthy. And then to try to provide these young men with an opportunity to play the game they love. When you start talking about our league, the players, the coaches, it's outstanding. I think the league is really trending in a really positive direction. All the really good players in our league last year were sophomores and juniors, mm-hmm. predominantly. They're all back. The coaching is outstanding. You got some new guys coming into the league that's going to work extremely hard. So the challenges are great. So it's a very competitive league. And like we tell our players, like what you've signed up for, what you've dreamed of doing, may be one of the most competitive environments, competitive arenas that you'll ever step into. And it's called college basketball. And it's not something you can just dip your toes in. You have got to be fully and 100% committed to going through a process, and that process of getting better, it almost certainly is going to include pain and suffering. And because that's the way you get better and stronger, is tearing your muscle down and building it back up. And it's no different when you're any other thing you want to accomplish in life. So if we can get this thing going and get started, it's really going to be fun to get back out to compete against these coaches and these players.
And fortunately for Tennessee Tech, you have one of the better players in the league. Junior Clay is back. He was an All-OVC preseason pick, averaged about 14 points a game, your leading scorer last season. So obviously that's somebody good to build around and to have coming back for this season.
Yeah, I think Junior obviously has had a lot of individual success since he's been here. And he's a guy who's more than capable of going out every single night and get 20 points a game. And some of the things that we have talked about with Junior is, you know, you can continue down this road of being able to accomplish individual goals. And individual goals are somebody's opinions, right? Mm-hmm. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll celebrate your awards. But at the end of the day, if you're going to have a transformational impact as a basketball player, then you got to make those around you better. You got to take this program from where it was when you got here and move it to a different place. That's transformational.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, it has to probably be less about himself as a basketball player and more about his leadership, about being kind and generous and helpful to all those around you. I thought he made unbelievable strides as a leader. I think he's done that again this summer, this fall. We're really proud of him. He talks the right talk. Whether he likes it or not, people gravitate to him. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, you're going to be a leader.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether it's going to be have a positive effect or a negative effect. And he has the ability to influence his teammates in a positive way. And when you ask him why, it's not because he's the fastest, best ball handler, shoots the ball the best. It's none of those things. It's because of the way he treats them. And that is what our leader does. So I'm really excited about him. You know, he's got a mindset that that is necessary for learning and growing and getting better. You know, there were some other players on our team last year who I think we invested heavily in, just like Junior, Keyshawn Davison, mm-hmm. Devontae Williams, Dane Quest, Amadou Cilia, all guys that played here last year. And those guys really got a good understanding of what it's like to be in this program, what we value. And our team will only be as good as their level of leadership and communication to the new guys, because they have no clue what to expect. And so that's the way it always is. The veteran guys have got to carry the workload. That doesn't mean they score the most points. That doesn't mean they grab all the rebounds. That doesn't mean they play all the minutes, but they got to carry the workload. They got to set the example. There's got to be a standard, and those guys do it. And another young man who does that at extremely high level for us is Maverick Smith, who was a walk-on here in the past, mm-hmm. who now is on scholarship.
Yeah, from Oakdale.
We trust and respect him. He understands what this thing is all about, and he has a loud, loud voice on our team. We are better when he's around. And cause I say that because there's in the preseason here, there's a certain day where he's not in practice because he has class. Mm-hmm. And the days that he's not with us, we lack energy. We lack leadership. Mm. And that just goes to show you how important a role when somebody has total understanding, total mental and physical commitment, and the respect of his peers. And again, Maverick's another great example. They don't respect Maverick because of how many shots he can make or how fast he is or how high he can jump. They do respect how hard he works, how much he loves the game of basketball, how his affection for this school. But the way he treats them, that's what people really respect. And when people respect you, when you treat them the right way, you get the respect, but you also have a chance to influence them. So what does that look like? Well, if a young player or a new player for us who's come into the program is having a tough day, he's dropping his head because it's not going well for him, Maverick has the ability to go over to that player and say, don't worry about the result. Just keep doing your best, and eventually you'll keep getting better at it. Mm-hmm. If the player doesn't respect you, he's not listening to you. But that's what I respect about our veteran players, is they're treating each other and their teammates in the correct way where they can have influence. And that is a huge deal in the heat of battle.
Talking with Tennessee Tech head men's basketball coach John Pelfrey. Coach, who are some of the newcomers that these Golden Eagle fans are going to enjoy watching this season?
Well, I think there's several of them. We feel like we're very fortunate. Our assistant coaches, Marcus King, Andre Bell, and Alex Fain, did a tremendous job in recruiting and developing relationships and communicating kind of what we're looking for. Because like I've said before, everything rises and falls on leadership for us. That's where we start in the recruiting process. It's not, hey, we have to have your shooting. Hey, we have to have your shot blocking. Like, no, your talent's going to let you down. We understand that we can't win the Kentucky Derby with a mule. You've got to have talent. Mm-hmm. But the way people think is more important, to be able to be hard-nosed, tough, nasty, resilient, sacrificing, selfless, kind to their teammates, caring. Those things are all really important. And we believe that those types of core values of character are what help people to understand about how to learn, grow, and get better. That's really, really important. So I think that we've got a group of guys who think that way. They value leadership. They want to grow as young men. They understand that they're much more than a basketball player. They're a human being who we hope someday develop into such good leaders and role models that parents say, you know what? I want my child to marry a guy like that. He's respectful. He's hardworking. He can handle success. He can handle adversity. I know he's going to treat people in the right way. I think, you know, when you start with some of the newcomers, you look at Shandon Biggie Goldman, who is a senior. He's a front court player who has a lot of perimeter skill. Marcus Hopkins is another front court player. Both these young men are over 6'9". Marcus may be 6'10". Marcus is much more of an in-around-the-basket player. He can move. Hopefully he'll be able to provide us with some shot blocking, be able to finish some plays, and some leadership as well. Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate to have been able to sign some big wing players. Kenny White is 6'6". He's a guard. Kalen Peter is 6'5". He's a guard, can really shoot the basketball. He's athletic. Kenny is a ball handler, decision maker, just really big, physical, can play different positions for us, but he's a guard. Austin Harvell is another front court player. He's kind of a 4'3", 3'4", can shoot the ball from the perimeter. He's 6'6", 6'7". But all these guys have tremendous length, and they give you versatility.
Yeah.
So we're excited about all those guys. Damari Franklin is another young man who's a junior. He came out of junior college. He's 6'4", an explosive scorer at a guard spot. I'd say we'll probably play him into two or the three, but he can really score the ball. So we're just much bigger physically. I'm excited about it because I won't be the biggest guy getting off the bus anymore.
Let's take a look at your schedule, and it's one that's it's a good schedule, but I'm sure it's one that's going to be very challenging because you open up Wednesday, November 25th at Indiana. Of course, that is an awesome place to open up. You go to Xavier, you go to Northern Kentucky, you go to Western Carolina. You go to Tennessee, so that's just in Western Kentucky, some of the out-of-conference games, and you play Chattanooga at home, so quite the non-conference slate to start the season.
Yeah, when you look at our schedule, we're very fortunate to be able to kind of put this thing together. We had a schedule done. They pushed our season back 2 weeks. Everybody had to scrap it, start over. Mm-hmm. At our level, we kind of got to see how the Power Five conferences get their stuff settled before they can decide what they're going to do with us. And then we got to kind of race around. We added two conference games that will now be played in December. It was extremely challenging. Alex Fain and Mark Wilson did a great job of, over the course of a month, of basically redoing a whole college schedule that takes an enormous amount of time to do. And the fact that those guys did it in about 30 to 40 days is remarkable. The schedule is too hard. You know, we've only got one home game. We did have some flexibility, probably the only program on campus that had the flexibility to do some things from a financial standpoint. So we decided to play some extra guarantee games because of all the financial crisis that's going on.
Right.
To help out as much as we possibly could for our athletic department. Again, if we're going to be good here, we're going to have to go through some pain and suffering. So since we weren't going to get scrimmages and exhibition games and, you know, to be able to play some non-ones at home because not everybody's got the same testing, and testing is important in a pandemic. We just decided to go and, you know, play a really challenging schedule, and let's just go through some pain and suffering, not run away from it, go find it, seek it out, see how much we can learn, grow, and get better, and to be as helpful as we possibly can, you know, to the athletic department. So we're excited about the schedule. I had the chance to play at Indiana as a player. It's an unbelievable venue. It's an unbelievable program. I have a personal relationship with their head coach and one of the assistant coaches. We're very thankful they're allowing us to play them. Our one home game was against Chattanooga. Had an outstanding year last year. They play in a really good conference and got a lot of guys back. Then we go up and play Xavier and Northern Kentucky back-to-back. Xavier's had a tremendous amount of success as a basketball program. Northern Kentucky is on a serious run in recent years, and so on and so forth. You know, right on through that schedule.
Right.
So even though it won't be, you know, a lot of home games, I don't know how many folks are going to be allowed to come see these games anyway. You know, right now, I know even some schools in our league, right now there's zero attendance.
Wow.
I think at Indiana right now, it's zero attendance. I think at Northern Kentucky, it's zero attendance. So with everything going on the way it's going on right now, we don't know what it'll be like for fans, but at least we're having a chance to play. I'm sure there'll be some opportunities from TV to streaming to those types of things.
Yeah.
But you just don't know.
Right.
And that's kind of where it is right now. Hopefully we can get off to a good start. We've got a bunch of games in a short period of time. But that would be good to get four, five, six games in before Christmas break.
Yeah. Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate you visiting with us. I know it's been very challenging, but hopefully you'll be able to get these games in and the Golden Eagles will hit the court. And that your second season is everything you hope it would be.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I think it's a good group of young men. I think that we'll get a lot better. We'll have to wait and see, you know, what that holds for us. It's good to get back out there with them. I was really concerned, you know, about getting started again with not having a summer and preparing your bodies. And you know, it's hard to develop skill, to get organized, to get conditioning, to lift weights all at the same time. So you don't want to just kind of jump out there and start doing all these things at once and get these guys hurt. So we've really tried to ease into it. And we were in a good spot until we kind of had to deal with, you know, the pandemic ourselves.
Right.
So now we're trying to have to revamp this thing up here for the next 2 weeks, and hopefully we can kind of get in a pretty good spot. We'll just have some conditioning, some organization to be able to start playing these games.
All right, Coach, good luck to you. Tennessee Tech men's basketball coach John Pelfrey, and the Golden Eagles tip off Wednesday, November 25th at Indiana. We can't wait to see that. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the TT website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.